verse 1. John 10, 1. Ushers, if y'all can turn the heater off. Turn the heater completely off. John 10, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Let's dive in. And Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you and we praise you for your word on tonight, God. Father, we come here to receive a message, Lord God, a midweek message as we do every Tuesday, God. So, Father, be faithful in that as you are, Lord God, and deliver a message, Lord God, through me, Father. I pray that I would diminish and you would increase in me, Lord God. I pray that you would edify our souls, our spirits, Lord God, that you would give us your words of life, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. All right, so in order to really understand what's going on in chapter 10, we have to do a summary of chapter 9. In chapter 9, the Bible starts off, the apostles are asking Jesus concerning a man that was born blind. They said, Jesus, who sinned? Was it this man or was it his parents? Because he was born blind. Like somebody, it's somebody's fault that this man is blind. And Jesus says in 9:3, he says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And it reveals to us the purpose of the man's blindness. Why was he afflicted? So that the work of God would be revealed. The very power, the healing power of God would be revealed through him. And that speaks to us. Why am I going through exactly what I'm going through? I don't want to go through this. Well, it's not really about you. It's that the works of God would be revealed in us. So that's the fruit of chapter 9. It starts off with that. Jesus heals the man. And y'all know the story. He spit upon the ground. He made clay. He smeared it upon the man's eyes. The man, Jesus said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash your eyes. So the man was obedient. And he went and he washed his eyes. And he opened his eyes and he could see for the first time ever. And in that chapter, the Bible actually says that that was the first time in the history from the beginning of the earth that anybody was born blind and was healed. It's a historical chapter, right? So this is how it all goes. The man is super elated. His friends come and they greet him. What happened? Who healed you? And he begins to tell them, Jesus healed me. And they say, okay, Jesus healed you. Okay, how about we bring you to the Pharisees? Tell these to the Pharisees. Tell this to the Pharisees. So they go. And the man tells the Pharisees, hey, I was healed by Jesus. And they begin to question him. Hey, who healed you? How long have you been blind? Were you really born blind? How did he heal you? Questioning the man. And the man telling him, Jesus, he spat on the ground. He smeared the clay upon my eyes. I washed in the pool of Siloam, and he healed me. Glory to God. And the Pharisees, all right, we don't believe you. Where's your parents? You say you were born blind? Where are your parents? Bring them here. I want to see him. I want to talk to him. They bring the man's parents. They question his parents. Was he really born blind? Who healed him? And his parents begin to answer him. Yes, we know he really was born blind. He's our son. We definitely know that. But who healed him, we do not know. Because his parents knew how the Pharisees were. He knew they were always trying to trip somebody up in their words to condemn them. So they replied to the Pharisees, We don't know how this man or how he was healed, but he's of age. Why don't you go and just ask him? He's an adult. Go ahead and ask him. So they go and ask again. The Pharisees come to the blind man once again, almost like interrogating the man. Were you really blind? Asking him the same exact questions. Were you really blind? How long have you been blind? When were you healed? Who healed you? And the man is like, look, I already told you guys, Jesus healed me. And the Pharisees are like, okay, we know this man is a sinner talking about Jesus. How about you give God the glory? And he said, look at here. Whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I do not know. But what I do know is that I once was blind. But now I see. That was his evidence. That was the evidence of his healing. That was the evidence. And in our faith, we should have evidence of our faith. What is faith? I always get this wrong, so I got to read it right. My kids pick on me at school. Faith. I don't think I wrote it down. Faith is the substance of things unseen, right? And the evidence, y'all help me, of things hoped for. I always get it twisted. I always get it twisted, and they pick on me. So it's the substance of things hoped for. Oh, I got it right? Gotcha. One thing I do know. Get that right. As if you have faith, you better have evidence. And this man was blind. And now he sees, that's his evidence. That's the evidence of his healing. What's the evidence of your faith? What's the evidence of your faith, of your salvation? The evidence of my faith, of my salvation, is I once was blind. Now I see. I once was a young, foolish young man. But now I see. I once was dead in my sin. I once was filled with sinful desires. Now I don't want that no more. I don't want that. So we conclude chapter 9. After this occasion, the Pharisees kicked the man out of the synagogue, and Jesus heard that the man was kicked out. So he comes and he greets the man. And I'm going to read it so we can understand it much better. Jesus asked the man in 9:35, he says, do you believe in the Son of God? And the man says, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus is pretty much sharing revealing to him that he's the Messiah. And that would be the equivalent of us sharing the gospel. Jesus says, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Jesus said, I am the Messiah. And then at the end of chapter 9, guys, we have the Pharisees coming back. We have all the characters from the whole duration of chapter 9 at the end of chapter 9 again. Okay? So chapter 10 picks up with the same characters. Jesus, the blind man, the Pharisees who be tripping. And we pick up here. Chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus begins chapter 10 with a parable. A parable saying, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And Jesus is revealing to us the type of shepherd he is. He's the good shepherd. Anybody ever heard of Jesus being the good shepherd? All right. Is Jesus anybody's good shepherd in here? Personally, your shepherd. Definitely mine. So after Jesus gives this parable, you see in verse 6, it goes over their heads. He's pretty much like revealing to them that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and it goes over their heads. Anybody in here was saved the first time you ever heard the gospel? The very first time? If you did, cool. But I know for me, my personal experience, no. I did not believe. The very first time I heard that Jesus suffered and died on the cross for me, I didn't believe it. I didn't receive it, I guess. And what we see in chapter 10 He gives a parable, and then he goes on to verse 7, and he gives the parable again. And what I see in that is God, he's the God of second chances. That if you wouldn't get it right the first time, he's loving enough to come back a second time and hold your hand and bring you through, right? So I praise God for his character, for who he is. So we see in chapter 7 now, as I was reading it, I kind of just picture Jesus taking a deep breath. He was like, I love you. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door. Now he's getting a little more specific. I am the door. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And verse 9 and 10 is where we're going to focus tonight. And if I had to title this lesson, it would be abundantly. In verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. Jesus says, I am the only door. The only door. There's no other doors. He's the one. He's the only. There's no other way. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father in heaven but through me, Jesus says. No man can come to the Father but through Jesus, through faith in Jesus. Some believe that there are many religions, but they all worship the same God. Y'all heard people say that before. Keep it real. There are a lot of religions, but it's all good. It's all the same God. No, it's not the same God. Jesus tells us this in John, our text right here, 10:9, and then also in John 14:6. Jesus is the only way, and he says, if anyone enters by me, Jesus says, in verse 9. As I was reading this, the word that stuck out to me is if. He just told us that he's the only door. He's the only way. And then he says, if you enter. He's not forcing anybody. He's not forcing anybody. The choice is yours. The choice is ours. To confirm it, Deuteronomy 13:9 says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. Now, Jesus just told us that he's the only way. And he's given us the game in the Old Testament, how to choose life, choose Christ. But the choice is ours. The choice is yours, young man, college student. God saved me in college, and I had to choose. I didn't choose the first time, but I praise God that he's the God of second chances. So choose life, and I would say this. I tell my kids this all the time. If you choose not to choose, you have chosen. You have chosen. And if you choose not to choose, that is the wrong choice. By default, it's the wrong choice. You can't just say, I'm not ready right now. You know what I'm saying? If you say that, okay, you're keeping it real, that's really how you feel, but it's the wrong choice. It's the wrong choice. You know, anything can happen. As I look back, I could have been gone at any point in time. Any point in time. Riding dirty, I could have been locked up. And it's the same for us still today, guys. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will be saved. I'm going to have to go back. I'm skipping over some stuff. I am the door. If anyone enters by me. If presents the choice. In every situation and circumstance in life, there is a life or death, blessing or cursing choice before us. In every situation. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, simple but basic, but it's still a life or death choice. Life or death, good or bad type of choice. Somebody cut you off in traffic. You have a choice to react in a negative way or a choice to react in a godlike, godly way. Every situation is practical. It's more practical than you would think. Life or death, blessing or cursing type of choices. I give the story to my students this week. There are two types of people in life. Two types of people. Trash collectors and treasure hunters. Trash collectors and treasure hunters. A trash collector is the type of person that it doesn't matter what the situation is, good or bad, they only see the negative. All they see is negative. Somebody somebody bless them with a car or something. Praise God, it's a car, right? But man, the car need four new tires. And all they dwell on the fact is it need four new tires. Man, go get you some tires, man. You got a brand new, you got a car. You didn't have anything at all. Trash collectors. All they do, they go through life, through situations, man. All they do is collect the negativity, the negative things. And they take them and they just carry them. And it's heavy. It's like, man. And it stinks. And they just go from situation to situation carrying trash. And then you have treasure hunters. Treasure hunters are the type of people who choose this. It's a choice. It's a mindset. It's a choice. Treasure hunters. People go through every different situations, same situations, but they choose to observe the good. They choose to think about what was positive in the situation. Well, I failed a class. I got to take this class all over again. Man, you know how many credits that is? College students, I think about that. Okay, but what did you learn? Are you going to make the same mistakes that you made when you took it the first time? Are you going to learn from your mistakes and you're going to be better? Okay? In life, I had a divorce. Oh, my gosh. Like, just not forgiving ourselves. Okay, and? What about God? We already learned that God is the God of second chances, third chances. Okay? If you're just waiting for that right opportunity, just wait. Just believe God and learn what you got to learn. So whenever you're in that situation, you're equipped. God uses those situations to equip us. I'm talking about the treasure hunters. And sometimes you're going to have to seek through. It may be like a bad situation, but you still can open your eyes and see something good, something positive in it, and learn from it. Trash collectors and treasure hunters, the choice is yours. Life or death. What type of person you're going to be tonight? I am the door. If anyone enters by me, Jesus says, he will be saved. Not might be saved. Not maybe. He will be saved. And this is personal for me because my salvation experience, some things fell off me immediately, some sins, like lying, cursing, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But like, you know, strong drink, a little alcohol, man, that was the struggle. Just keeping it real. And as I struggled through it, I was like, am I really saved? Like, what's wrong with me? But Jesus says this, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will be saved, but I really believe. But I really believe. And the fact that I really, my evidence that I really believe is I understood that it was a real struggle. I acknowledged that it was a struggle, and I had to bring it to him. And he really delivered me. He really delivered me, right? He really did. I don't remember the last time. I don't even desire that. Like, what is that? He is mighty to save. Not might be saved, will be saved. He is faithful to forgive. Talking about chapter 10, verse 9 of John. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out. When I read this, I was like, whoa. Go in and Christ, out Christ? Like a college schedule, go to class Monday, Wednesday, Friday, be in Christ Tuesday and Thursday? No, absolutely not. Jesus is saying this. And we'll go in and out. We'll go into eternal life and out of eternal death. We'll go in and out. When we came in this building right here, in church, we enter the building and we exit the outdoors, right? It's the same thing, but it's a spiritual concept. I need to bring this with me. It's the enter of eternal life, an exit of eternal death. It's an exit of depression and an enter of joy unspeakable. Let's go through it. It's the exit of suicide thoughts and an enter of peace that surpasses understanding. And we're going to experience life tonight. It's an exit of lack and an enter of abundance. What it is. All right, I'm going to get crazy with you. It's an exit of ratchetness and an enter of majesty and modesty. It's an exit of fear and an enter of boldness as a lion, of courage. It's an exit of sickness. It's an enter of health. It's an exit of borrowing and an enter of lending. It's an exit of hopelessness and an enter of purpose and anointing. In and out. In and out. And do what? And do it and find pasture. And find pasture. And that word pasture means food. It means food. And John, Peter said, actually, in John 6:68, Peter says, Jesus, where will we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. Only you have the words of eternal life. So when Jesus is saying, and find pastures, finding food for your soul. Finding food for your soul. Now we can eat. We can eat. We can know how to live. We can know what God expects of us because we didn't pass through the door. It's relationship. He feeds us. He leads us. It's food. Anybody ever tried? Anybody went to sleep on an empty stomach? All right. Was that restful? No. But we did it because we was fasting as a church. And it was good. But to keep it real, was it some good sleep? But God, Jesus, when you have the words of eternal life and we find pasture, we find food in you, we find fulfillment, we find rest in Christ. Hallelujah. And that's verse 9. I'll read it again. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, Jesus says he will be saved. And we'll go in and out and find pasture. In verse 10, Jesus says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Talking about that old thief. And to keep things in context, when Jesus says the thief, he's talking about the Pharisees. The Pharisees. Because we just summarized chapter 9. And all chapter 9 was doing was revealing to us the type of shepherds the Pharisees were. They were false shepherds. The man was blind. So the Pharisees are the shepherds of Israel, right? So one of their sheep, the blind man, born blind, was once blind, now he sees, and they never acknowledge that he was healed. Like, they didn't really care. It didn't really matter, like, because they could receive no accolades behind. They can receive no glory for it. You know what I'm saying? They were false shepherds. They were just selfish. And Jesus revealed to us the heart of the Pharisees in another parable. The parable of the Pharisee who was praying and the tax collector. Y'all know about it? The Pharisee went up to pray and he said, God, I thank you that I'm not a murderer. I thank you that I'm not this, not that. I thank you, I'm not this tax collector, wicked man. Thank you, God. Pharisee, all about them. Could care less about his own sheep, their own sheep being healed, being delivered. They told a man that was blind, he said, give God glory. We know this man is a sinner. But if you're the shepherd of the sheep, how about you give God glory? What you doing? False shepherds. And I think about my role as a husband, as a father. I need to be mindful of not being a false shepherd, not being selfish. You know what I'm saying? I can't be like that. What I look like just all about me, how will I lead my family if I'm operating in a spirit of selfishness? My family will never be the best it can be if I'm not the best I can be. So the thief, the false shepherds, Pharisees. And I begin to think. Lord, begin to give me scripture. In John 8:41, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you do the works of your father, Satan. And a lot of people quote this scripture, Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. Anybody ever quoted it that way? Yeah. Or thought about it that way? And it's right. You follow in the spirit. Because contextually, he was talking about the Pharisees, and that's the sons of Satan. So the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's true. And I said, well, you know what, Lord? Remember, Pastor taught a lesson. That's not our only enemy. Got an enemy we're sitting with right now. There's something called a flesh. Y'all heard about it? The flesh. Galatians 5:17 says, the flesh lusts against the spirit. Paul said, the good that I want to do, I want to make the right choices. I want to live for the Lord. I want to put it down, the cigarette, whatever it is, the drink. I want to, but I still have this flesh fighting against me. That's the enemy. And the flesh comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Another text says this, the works of the flesh are evident. And the Bible gave the whole list. Another text says, place no trust, place no confidence in the flesh. Now, if I can't trust the flesh, and if I allow the flesh to shepherd me, I'm going to be in some trouble. The same way if I allow Satan to shepherd me, a false shepherd, I'm going to be in some trouble. Drama. And in this lesson that Pastor gave, the third enemy was the world. And we don't have to look far for that. The world, just turn on your TV, turn on to secular radio, look at the news. I don't even have cable, and I see the world. Just look around. The world systems, its cultures, the whole, everything that God exalts, they diminish. They don't just diminish, they cast it down. And everything that God opposes, they lift it up as high as they can. They lift it up, they put a jack underneath it. They're trying to the roof. And if you allow the world to lead you, it's going to be some trouble. False shepherds. It's in context of what we're looking at. The Bible says, Jesus says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. We identify the thieves, the Pharisees in context, the devil, the flesh, the world. What did they come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Let's continue to keep it in context. Theologians say that the job of a shepherd was tough because he couldn't really sleep. It was a little hard. They had to be mindful of thieves. What a thief would do, he would come through. He would cross the fence. He would get through to the flock, real like a snake, you know. A thief, you know what a thief looked like. He would roll up on the flock. And he couldn't take the whole flock. Because we just read that the sheep don't recognize a stranger's voice and they will not follow. So a thief would not come and take the whole flock. A shepherd wouldn't wake up and be like, oh, they all gone. That's not how it operated. So the thief would come to steal. He would isolate one. And that's isolate one. Steal. And in order to keep the lamb or the sheep silent, it would kill. Cut the throat. So that it wouldn't squeal, that it wouldn't make a noise, they would have to cut the throat altogether. Steal, kill, get back over the fence. They would destroy the lamb or the sheep by separating, by skinning it pretty much and selling the wool for selfish gain for money and to eat the meat for selfish gain, for personal satisfaction. False shepherds. The thief. Glory. The devil, the flesh, and the world, they work hand in hand, helping one another to steal, kill, and destroy, to isolate you, me, as much as he can, as they can, to isolate us, get us by ourselves, feel like we by ourselves, we lonely, be the only one going through what we're going through. That's not the truth. That's not the truth. That's why one of the pillars of the church is fellowship. It holds the church up. And if you're not fellowshipping, then you need to be held up. You need some help. The devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. The flesh comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the world work hand in hand. Steal, kill, and destroy. But there's hope. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life that they may have life. I didn't put this in my notes, but I see it again, that they may. That they may. We just learned he's the only door. He's the only way. But it's still a choice. It's still a choice. That they may have life. And that word life in the Greek is zoe. And it means spiritual life. It means life with Christ. It means right relationship with Christ. When there was a separation of my sins between me and God, he come that we may have life, zoe, that we may have relationship, communion, that I can abide in him and he can abide in me. It's a push and pull, but he got it. I have to play my part, but I'm talking about life, zoe, life. Life in Christ, communion with Christ, with God, reconciliation with God, right relationship with God. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it, that they may have it, zoe, spiritual life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Abundantly. Did I put this in my notes? Yes. That's my favorite point right here. Favorite point. That word abundantly in the Greek is a weird word, and when I said it, I got hungry. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to ask y'all to say it too, because if I got to say it, y'all going to have to say it. The word in the Greek is peresas. All right, we're going to do a little bit better. Peresas. Yeah, and I got hungry because when I said peresas, I was like, man, Brother Danny Monroe cooking that black pot with that smoked meat, that tomato gravy, and they call it a sauce. Peresas. All right, I thought it was fun. But what does it mean? It means this. It means over and above. Yeah. It means more than is necessary. I was like, woo! It means supremely. It means more. It means much more. It means more than all. It means more remarkable. It means more excellent. He didn't come that you would just be saved, no. That you would just be, now we say it, I know we say, I used to say it too. I'm not going to say it no more. We used to say if Jesus, like if all he did was save me, that would be enough. And there's some truth behind that. Like, man, that would be enough. But as I study, that's not all he came to do. Like, that's not it. That's not, I used to have a mindset of that. But I didn't truly forgive myself of the wrongs I've done that I did. I still was holding. He hadn't cast it. Can't even remember the scripture, but I know he cast it. East is from the west. Yeah. But I was still dwelling on it. Trip. So he did not come that we would just be saved. Now it's the foundation of our faith, though. Oh, it's exceedingly important. Oh, yes. Jesus is the door. We got to pass through the door to experience life. That's where it starts. Life, real life. He come that we may have life and that we would have it more, that we would have it more remarkably, that we would have it more excellently, right? But we got to play our part. As I begin to see, the abundant life needs to be matched with abundant faith. Now, watch me now. Now, abundant faith, it was a little tricky. I didn't even want to say it, but abundant faith is just simply faith. Simply faith. Jesus says this, because concerning some people that did not believe, he said, if you would have faith as a mustard seed, he's not saying like a little faith, like I believe a little bit. Because if I believe a little bit, then I probably doubt a lot. And that's not good. That's not real. That's not the faith that saved me. Right. Like when I believed, I really believed. Yeah. It was over. Like I'm really going to hell. Like if I don't, I'm gonna really go to hell. Right, So I'm going to really believe. So I really believed in him for salvation. But when it came to providing, I felt like I had to work harder, like to get his approval. Or you know what I'm saying? Or whatever it may be. So when I say abundant faith, I'm just talking about real faith. And as I'm going to trip y'all out with this one, but some of us, if our faith was a character, it would be Bruh-Man. Remember how Bruh-Man did? Bruh-Man would come through that window with that tight shirt and the pigeon toes. Bruh-Man would come through. That's how your faith do. You come through the window. What kind of faith is that? You got to pass through the window. Bruh-Man would come through. The more pigeon toes, tight shirt. Bruh-Man, faith, do you believe that God can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything you can ask, hope, or imagine? Bruh-Man, faith? I thought about you. That's how our faith was. That's how my faith was. Like, I believe, but... Oh, man, what you doing, man? And God may ask you, like, what you doing, bro, man, faith? Nothing. Just chilling. About to fix me a sandwich. Come on, man. How long you gonna eat sandwiches? In the spirit. Come on, man. Bruh-Man faith, that's not real faith. That's not the faith that saved me. It's not the faith that saved me. Oh, no. I'm talking about, like, when I say abundant faith, I'm just talking about real faith. Like, really believing. Like, really, if he says it, it really settles it. Like, in the church, we have a lot of cliches. You know what I'm saying? We heard people recite, and they may have professed, you know what I'm saying, a scripture or a verse, and we kind of just start reciting it ourselves. And that's how it starts, but next level is to really believe it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's a little period. Okay, you're reciting, you're speaking it, but it's going to have to take a step up and really believe it. And really believe it. And I praise God. I praise God. I don't even have no more notes. Real faith. Real faith. That's why Jesus said if you would just have faith as a mustard seed. And I had a mustard seed. I bought some mustard seeds, y'all. They sell them at Walmart. It's so small, I lost it. Lost the thing. No, I really did lose it, like in the car. I really did. Lost it. A mustard seed, you cannot even see it. And Jesus said, if you would just have real faith, a mustard seed-sized portion of that real faith, you would say to this mountain, go from here to there, and it would not ask any questions. It would do it immediately. Bye-bye. It's over. Real faith. Real faith. It's the faith that saves us. It's the real faith. We come that we may have life, and that we would have it more abundantly. But you're going to have to match it. And the abundant life, I don't even think it's something that's hidden. I used to think like, oh, I want to experience the abundant life. Well, you can. You can. You're living it right now. Just open your eyes, trash collector. Come on, treasure seeker. That's why I didn't come just to save you and you live like a trash collector. No. Come that you may have life. Zoe. Woo. Zoe. And that you may have it more abundantly to the fulfillment, to the overflow, exceedingly, more exceeding, more excellent, much more. The Bible says, the translation is, more than needed. That's the abundance. That's the abundance. But if you don't believe it, you're not going to receive it. If you don't believe it, if it's not real faith, if it's not real faith. So real faith is what you're going to have to exercise, number one, to pass through the door. We just learned Jesus is the way. Jesus is the door. He said it. He's like, you didn't get it the first time. Well, I'm going to break it down. I'm going to chew the food a little bit. I'm going to get, I am the door. I am the door. And if you want to get to the Father, if you want to go to heaven, if you want your sins to be saved, if you want to be redeemed, if you want to live like you've never lived before in Christ. And it's going to take real faith. Really believe. Really believe what? Really believe that Jesus lived a sinless life. Never sinned a day in his life. The blameless, sinless Lamb of God. He lived a sinless life. Was wrongfully accused of blasphemy. He said that he is God. And the Pharisees said, no, you're lying. They lying. He's telling the truth. So he died for truth. Lived a sinless life. Was wrongfully accused. Was hung on a cross. Before it, he was scorned for our sins. He took the death that I deserve. That we deserved for our sins. For the wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. Lived a sinless life. Was buried in the grave, fulfilling prophecy. And on the third day, man, the third day, he rose from the grave with all power, all might, with dominion and power and excellence. He rose from the grave, defeating sin, defeating the wages of my sin, defeating the strength and the hold that sin had on us, on me. It's personal, y'all. And on the third day he rose. I said that he rose. And is seated right now at the right hand of the Father. And if you believe on him, you can be seated in him at the right hand. Above all principalities. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And I can honestly say that the grass is green on the other side. Yeah. Grass is green. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you all glory and honor for who you are, Lord God. Father God, I just thank you for being a mighty God. I thank you for creating a way out of no way, Lord God. When we was lost and in our sins, Lord God. You suffered and you died on the cross for us, God, that we would have a way, that we would have a choice, God. Thank you for never allowing us to be misled, Lord God. You say in your word that you are the way, the only way, and the only way to the Father is through the Son. And I thank you for being so real that you still give us a choice. So, Father, here tonight, I pray for your people, God, this community that I love, God. I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you would prick a heart, God, like you pricked mine about 8 years ago, God, that you would lead somebody to your truth. I pray that you would take these words that I have spoken tonight, God, and that you would multiply. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Jesus' name. Come on, give God some glory. Give him some glory. Oh, I see y'all standing up. I see y'all standing up. Thank you, man. Listen, you heard, huh? That was the gospel. And one of the most purest forms I've heard. You know, while I'm sitting down listening, amen, I discern a spirit of health. You know, before I came, my stomach was kind of turning. I was feeling a little. It was a long day. I don't know if you know, brother, but there's a health anointing on you. There's a healing anointing that's on you. And sitting under the word, I feel better. I feel better. And it's not just a natural healing, it's a soul healing. It's a soul healing. You know? Because we got sick souls. Sick souls. And you heard your medicine tonight. Just believe. In the simplest, purest form, just believe. Somebody say, God, I believe. I believe you. I believe your word. I believe your ways. Tonight, I surrender all doubt. I surrender all reservations. I surrender. I'm believing it all. You died. You were buried. You rose on the third day. And you're coming back. I believe it all. Save me. Heal me. Deliver me. But I also believe that you've come that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I believe, God, you've come that I might have a blessed life. I believe it. I believe it. Say, I receive abundance. I receive more. I receive exceedingly. I receive excellence. I receive supreme life. Woo! I don't deserve it. But I receive it. 'Cause you gave it to me. I surrender to the abundant life. Think about that for a second. Think about that for a second. Goodness and mercy been trying to follow you. You've been running. Somebody need to surrender. Goodness and mercy been following you. APB, they've been chasing you down like the laws, and you've been running from abundant life. I'm surrendering tonight. I'm surrendering tonight. If you surrender into abundant life, come to this altar. Take some steps of faith. Come to this altar. If you say, I'm coming out. All right. Remember, hallelujah. In him, you're going to go in and out. Hey, God, I'm coming out. I'm coming out of a broke life. Out of a sick life. Out of a down life. Out of a depression life. Out of a suicidal life. But I'm coming in to abundant life. In to a rich life. In to a free life. In to a wealthy life. Hey, I'm coming in to a whole life. In to the saved life. In to the more abundant life. I'm coming in tonight. Coming up to it right now. I'm coming up to it right now. Coming up to it right now. I'm coming up to it. I'm not staying down tonight. It's a choice that you may have. That you may have. Hey, choose life. Choose life. I'm coming up to it. 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 Oh my hand, Deacon. Frank, come on, hold our hand up here. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, pour down upon us a special anointing. to break through the mediocre life, the catfish life, the bottom dweller life. Woo! Put it on our hands right now, God, that as we touch your people, something will break in them. You say, stir up the gift by the laying on of hands, God. God, in the name of Jesus. Hey! As we just touch your people, God, as a church, we want to go out of some things and we want to walk into some things. Brothers, on three, we're going to take a step out and into some things for the church. On three. One, two, three. Out and in. Woo! Hey! Hey! One more time. The devil don't believe us. One, two, three. Out and in. Hey, God! Hey! Hey! Mm. All right. All right. People of God, just hold your hands. Hold hands with one another. Hold hands with one another. We're going to just put our hands on a few of y'all, but the anointing going to flow through all. Hey, God. Like Christmas lights up in this place. Brothers, just touch a few of them right now. And just say out and in. Coming out. Woo! And going in. Coming out and going in. Coming out and going in. Coming out. Out. Out, 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 and going in, out and into these blessings, out of curses and into blessings, out of sickness and into healing, out, 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 woo, and in, into the blessed life, into the blessed life. Into the blessed night. God, let it run through all the hands, God. Let it run through all the vessels in here, God. Let it run, let it run, let it run, let it run. We just don't want salvation, God. We want all that you've given us, God. We want it all. We want it all. We hungry, God. We greedy for it, God. We want it all, Lord God. We want it all. Hey, God, the violent take it by force. We want it all, Lord God. We don't want to leave anything on the table. So Father, fill your people up. Take them to the next level, God. Take them to the next level. Eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him, that are called according to his purpose. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him glory. Come on, give him glory. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 So, saints, how did Frankie do? Minister, how did he do? How did he do? He did all right?
Awesome, awesome.
He did all right? Where Renata Gale at? Renata Gale. He did all right, Renata Gale. Yeah. We proud of you, man. We proud of you, son. That's right. That's right. The glory belongs to God. All right, saints, hallelujah. We love y'all. May the Lord bless you. And may he keep you.